my question. I always get defensive. Where is that?
That would probably be blaming others.
Okay.
It's depending on the situation, but usually when we're being defensive, we'll come back with, well, you didn't, you know,
you could
with a you statement.
You could squeeze out the sponge. You never help around the kitchen. It's not my fault that I didn't do that. In my family, we never squeezed out the sponge. It's your really anal retentive neatnik part that's all your fault.
Right.
So
well,
that
go ahead, sweetie.
Does that make sense? What I want you to get clear of in this whole exercise is that you have a choice. And sometimes I hate it that I have a choice. When I remember this, it's like sometimes I want to be a victim of the circumstances. It's so much easier just to blame Kristen or blame life or blame my telephone company or, you know, it's like the little kid in me. I don't like the idea some days of having a choice. But my other question is, what kind of a relationship can you create if you really have a choice and live that way? You see how much different this is going to be than doing it the old way, yes or no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, is this simple?
Well,
huh?
It might be simple, but it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
I'd like to describe it sort of like if someone explained basketball to you and said, it's a simple game. You see this round ball, you like bounce it on the floor and then throw it through the hoop.
Yeah.
That's the game. Now, that's simple, but it's not easy. So you're going to have to practice. And, you know, listen at the end of this because we've got this special thing set up so that you can practice. And you'll probably want to listen again and again and again to these calls because there are subtleties that you're not going to get the first time through. You may want to listen 5 or 6 or 10 times. Every time Marshall comes to town, I go back and take the basics. It's not like he's gone off and now there's rocket science. It's the same basic 4 steps that I learn, just applying it in different places. So you want to take us to the next one, Kristen?
Okay, so the next part here is to add on the observation and the request to the feeling and need. We're going to give an observation that's just the facts so that we're talking about the same thing. And we want to be careful to give just the facts so that your listener doesn't just shut down when they hear something crazy. If I say to Paul, you know, you left the stupid, soggy, stinky sponge in the bottom of the sink again. I've put all these adjectives. You can tell from my intonation, too, that it's charged. But if I just say, when you left the sponge in the sink, that's good enough for him to know what I'm talking about. And then we don't have to argue over those other things. And then we go into the feeling and need. And then the last thing to do is put on a request, because all communication is ultimately a request anyways. And I always like to give the example of my mom. She'd come downstairs while we were in the den watching TV when we were kids, and she'd bring down this big laundry hamper full of clean clothes from the dryer, throw them on the sofa, and pick up something to fold, and then go, and that was a clear request. We were supposed to get off our butts and start helping to fold. So, you know, in most communication, even if somebody walks up to you on the street and says, hey, how's it going? It's a request. It's a request maybe for connection, for community. So we want to make a clear and present request so that it's not left up in the air and the other person isn't guessing at what you want. So shall we do the sponge wars again?
Absolutely.
An observation and a request?
Go for it.
Okay. So, honey, would you mind picking the sponge up out of the sink and putting it on the side?
Are you going to go through the observation, feeling, needs, and requests, or are you going right for requests?
Oh, I was just attacking you so that you could do...
Oh, okay. Well, it was such a light attack, I just did it as a request.
Sorry.
Like, sure, I can do that. piece of cake.
No. Attack.
So are you feeling a little... Oh, so when you saw the sponge in the sink, were you feeling a little frustrated and disappointed and needing some help? Would you be willing to tell me what you just heard me say?
That you thought that I felt discouraged and needed some help.
I'm wondering what came up for you when you heard that.
Yeah, it felt good because I didn't think that you actually recognized that I needed some help.
Yeah.
Or might need some help.
Thank you. And there's two things that we're trying to do. Well, actually, it's one thing. We're always trying to get to the understanding part. And what we do is we go, can you tell me what you heard me say, or can I tell you what I think I heard? Now, does that sound a little bit alien to any of you as normal conversations?
Yeah.
Except for I guarantee you use that language every single day. The last time that you called a friend and left a message at their house with their teenager, and they're like, yeah, okay, I got the message. You're going, no, wait. Can you tell me the phone number I just gave you? Do you have a pen in your hand? Can you just feed that back to me? What are you trying to do? Make sure that it was understood. If you've ever placed an order with a credit card over the phone, what do? Let me tell you what I think I heard. What are they trying to do is get understanding before they move on. So if we reverse it, Kristen, this time you do the sponge, only be it enlightened and end on a request.
Okay. So, sweetie, when you leave the sponge in the bottom of the sink, I feel a little discouraged because I need some support in trying to keep the place nice. Would you tell me what you heard me say?
Yeah, that I never help around the house and that you really don't appreciate all of the hard work I do and that, you know, it's never good enough for you.
Oh, wow. Thank you for letting me know that that's what you heard. I was hoping that you would hear that that just that I want some support in keeping the house clean, not that, you know, not the other stuff. So, where do I go from there?
Make another request.
So when I tell you that I feel discouraged and would like some support, how does that make you feel?
I feel bad. I'm trying to help, and I'm confused. I'd like to know what I'm not doing that, and what I could do more of. So...
Great, yeah.
Whoops, set myself up there.
I thought you did, yeah, exactly.
So before we go any further, and we're about, you know, we've just got a few more minutes we're going to do, and I want to hear from some people, what are they getting out of this conversation? And where do they see the roadblocks in actually applying it?
I can tell it's really good, but I can see that it's a lot to remember and that I would get sidetracked.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're a combination, I'm guessing here, of possibly a little bit excited and a little bit maybe overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Excited about the possibility, but overwhelmed at the, you know, how do I make sense of all this and apply it?
Yeah. And not go off onto a tangent where you get back into old habits.
Yeah. So glad you brought that up. We're actually going to go through that. And everybody on the phone, actually, how many other people have sort of the same feeling right about now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I'd actually like to say something here. I can see in this, you know, the Sponge Wars issue, there are similar issues in our household and... you know, we have a long enough history, and we've communicated so poorly, and there are, you know, major stories on both sides. But you know, my side, that I do the majority of the housework, and And I guess I'm thinking about, you know, it makes it a little more challenging to start cleaning up your communication and to not do a lot of storytelling on both sides about, yeah, but you've already, you know, I can see him saying, yeah, you've already told me 1,000 times you think you do the majority of the housework, so I'm not falling for this one.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to make it a little bit more complicated. Or,
so I can definitely see this working, and I can also see that, you know, we're both smart enough and have had enough history together that there could be some additional challenges.
Well, one of the solutions that I'm going to talk to people about now in a minute is practicing doing role play. So if you have an issue that is plugged you in, your sponge wars around the house, before you go and talk to your beloved about it, you get with your partner, your role-playing partner, and say, I need to practice on this. I need to practice enough that I don't see my partner as the enemy image anymore, that he's not or she's not the lazy slug that doesn't do any housework or, you know, whatever it is. I'm doing all the housework. And as long as you hold that image that you're right, they're wrong, you're good, they're bad, you're not going to get the connection that you want.
Right.
It's all about relationship, and this is relationship 505. You got this? Most people don't get this. But you're either giving or receiving. That's it. And if you want to give a gift to somebody, you want to do it in a way that they enjoy receiving. If you want to receive a gift from somebody, you don't go, hey, you lazy slug, pick the sponge out of the bottom of the sink. Could you please? That doesn't make it enjoyable for me to want to give to her if I hear it that way.
Right.
It's all just giving and receiving, and don't do anything that's not play. If you're not enjoying the housework anymore, you have to look at that and go, okay, why am I doing this if it brings me pain? So part of what we're going to work on is setting up groups. For any of you who would enjoy working with a partner, I'm thinking the strategy might be email me your email at Paul, and so it's paul@magicrelationship.com. And since I get about 150 emails a day, you want to put in the subject line LOP, Language of Peace Partner. I want a Language of Peace Partner. And what will happen is I'll just mix and match you, and you guys can trade numbers. I'll just email one other person and match up partners. But before I even start doing any of that, how many of you would actually like a partner to practice with?
I would. Yes, I do.
Well, I heard two people, so there's the match right there. Whoever spoke up, you are the only two, so that's it.
Was that Ann and Jocelyn?
Yeah.
It was Jocelyn, yes.
Okay, good. Boy, I'm getting good with these voices.
Wow, I'm impressed.
You're good. Is it magic relationships? Or singular.
Yeah, yes, that magic relationship. We haven't gotten to the plural yet. We're kind of still just working on stuff at a time.
Very soon.
Yeah.
Soon, though, yes.
Oh, one last thing I want to say, and then there's the close, is on the request, sometimes what you can do is to help people that, especially people who have fixitis, like Brian said he has a little bit of that. I know I have it. But if Kristen starts with a request and says, honey, will you just sit and listen and not offer any advice? That would be an incredible gift for me just to be heard right now. Then I know what is wanted from me. And it makes it easier for me to win in that situation and in that relationship. So setting it up makes it easy to win. So
Shall we go over, Sobel, would you mind if we did your situation with a full set?
Not at all.
So in that situation, well, in any situation, first you have to decide, are you going to connect with her by asking her feelings and needs? Another choice you have in that situation, and in particularly if you're working with somebody who doesn't want to talk, you could say what your feelings and needs are and just express them. So But in this situation, let's go ahead and ask what her feelings and needs are and connect to her.
Okay.
And so what would your how would you put that all together? Can you see how you would say the whole observation, feeling, need, request?
I'll try. When you arrived at the meeting today without the papers for our project, I was wondering if you were feeling a little uncomfortable or concerned because you needed some support around those tasks. Would you be willing to tell me how you feel about what I just said? Oh, see, that sounds so I couldn't get away with that. Let me see. Would you be willing... I'm trying to think what I could say. Would you be willing to let me know if that's accurate?
Yeah, exactly.
Could I say that? Yeah, that would work.
And a lot of times when you're asking, are you feeling this because you're needing that, you can kind of get away with kind of fudging on the request because that is kind of the request.
Yeah.
So, yeah, do you think that would work in that situation?
Yes, I think that might. I think it would be respectful and it would allow her the agency to say exactly whether I've been accurate or inaccurate. That would be a great thing. And then I could say, well, could you say more? And then I think we'd be off and running.
Uh-huh, exactly.
And once you've
connected to the needs, then it's easier to talk about maybe some strategies for meeting people's needs.
And would you do, in terms of talking about strategies, does that fall into the category of request also?
Sure, you can make some requests on strategies, but I wouldn't do it until you've connected first as humans.
Yes.
The needs.
Actually, this is someone I like very much, and one of the reasons I haven't said anything is because I like her very much. And you're exactly right, Paul, when you describe it as a dead relationship. I like her very much, and I've been avoiding her because I haven't been willing or able to talk directly about some of these issues.
Isn't that always the way it is? And if you didn't care about the other person, it's just so much easier to just blur out anything, you know?
Yeah. She's very dear. So.
Yeah. Well,
it's a beautiful need you're trying to get met, and all conflict is when you have two needs that you're trying to get them both met, and they look as if they're opposing each other. The need for connection and the need for honesty.
Oh, the need for honesty, man.
And the need for connection, the need for support.
Yeah.
And now if you learn how to say it, it's really a beautiful message you have for this other human being. And it may take, I would be careful of saying, do you understand me? Because a lot of times people think that, yeah, I understand you. You think I'm a lazy slug. Back to that same thing.
Yeah.
Rather than, can you tell me what you heard me say? And this is because the reason I'm asking that is not because I think you can't remember anything or hear anything. I just want to make sure I was being clear. So you take the responsibility on yourself. I want to be clear. Would you tell me what you heard me say?
Yeah.
Okay. Can I give you some homework?
Yeah.
Comes from my school teacher background. I have to hand out homework. Here's your homework for this week.
Okay.
Take your 5 most common communication mistakes, and while you're on the treadmill, slap that up there in front of you, and looking at each one of those mistakes that people often make in their communication, try to figure out how you could use these 4 steps of the language of peace to address that situation, to help you keep from making those mistakes. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because if the mistakes are the things that you shouldn't be doing, if there is such a thing, then the 4 steps are the things that will, are the constructive side, the things that will help prevent those mistakes. And we'd just like to see if you can put that together for yourself. And also, those of you who didn't get a chance to read out your Who's Bugging You worksheet, you can also sit with that and try to figure out your observation, feeling, need, and request for that situation.
So what we've got about, like, if it's okay with everybody, we're going to go like a few minutes over, about 4 more minutes. What I'd like to do for the next minute and a half or two is just hear what people got out of today. What did you get? What are you going to do with it? And make that commitment. Here's what I got. Here's who I'm going to use it with today, tomorrow, when. I'd like to hear, especially from the people I haven't heard from.
Can you repeat that? I was too busy writing down the last.
Yes. I'd like to hear two things. One, what did you get out of the call tonight? What did you learn? And maybe I should do a quick review. You know, all communication, act of love, cry for help. How do you treat an adult if you want to stay connected? If it's an upset adult, treat them like a child. Then there's the 4 steps, observation, feeling, need, request. The sponge wars, 4 different choices on how we hear a message. We either blame others, blame self, empathy others, empathy self. So what did you get out of tonight, and how are you going to apply it?
Hey, Paul, it's Brian.
Hey, Brian.
I think the thing that I responded to the most tonight is that with the sponge, I'd get defensive. I would do exactly what you did. Well, it's like, you know, gee, aren't I good enough? And I do this, I do that, and I'm not appreciated enough. And what helps is when you say, well, is this a cry for help, or is it, you know, someone intentionally trying to inflict pain on you?
Mm, nice.
For me not to take it personally and just kind of step back and say, wait a second, what's going on here? What does this person need? Why are they treating me that way? Rather than getting real defensive and going, hey, wait a second, you SOB, I did this, that, and the other thing. So I'm going to try and apply that, because I noticed that in not just my relationship with my roommate, but sometimes with my coworkers and things like that, it's like I have to stand back and say, wait, is this guy going through a bad day? Is this woman having a hard time? And it really is a cry for help on some level.
Exactly. Thank you. Who else?
Yes, it's Doug. I think a valuable point for me is to unload the emotion from the observation. Just the facts, ma'am.
Yeah.
Seems to be really applicable. So just trying to describe the observation without the loaded terminology would be very helpful.
And some loaded terminology is when we use terms like always, never, you always, you never, you... Every time. Well, do we have one more before I give my last statement?
I was really touched by you also in the Sponge Wars, where you were saying once you've heard your partner's needs that it's a chance to give a gift to the person you love. It's a choice to do something that makes your partner feel good. And I just thought that was really sweet to look at it that way rather than, you know, one person wins, one person loses,
right,
or like it's a concession or something.
Wow. Cool. Very, very good. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. And if you have any testimonies that you'd like to send us, just email it to, once again, paul@magicrelationship.com. So that's it. Everybody on the count of three, say, see you later. Bye. One,
bye.
Two, three. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.